Young people know David. He's been very active as a young man, continuing into now becoming an older young man, that interesting stage. And last year, we were impressed with him enough that we asked him to be a counselor up at the Ignite camp, and he agreed to do that. Outstanding. I was looking forward to having him again this year, but Colorado's kind of like a big vacuum, just taking good people away from Southern California. And as a recent graduate of the Bear Valley Institute of Biblical Studies, there's a church out there who's called him away from us, and we're so encouraged to have you here. We appreciate very much, in a time when we're unfortunately losing preachers more than we're training, to have young men and older men too, but young men make the decision to go through such an intensive program. I bet you feel a great burden is off of you. You don't have to do any more of those intense papers and studies full time, but we're pleased to have him, and so we're grateful that we had some part in supporting the work at Bear Valley. We know it benefits men like David, Andrew Lemus, who's a graduate, who's in our area. And so that's who will be bringing us the lesson, and we thank you for joining us this morning, David.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, and I'll be reading chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. That's a book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by in the men of old gaining approval, by faith we understand that the words were prepared by the words of God, so that when it is seen what's not made out of things which are visible, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, and about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
Morning, everyone. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Kevin, for that encouraging introduction. I'm just excited to be here. And I just want to thank all of you and for your support of myself and the other students you've supported at Bear Valley. Your generosity has been amazing. So I'm very excited to be here with you guys. And I'm also excited to have my family and my girlfriend here to support me. But as Kevin, as you guys know, I just graduated from the Bear Valley Bible Institute. And there were times in there, where it got a little rough, it was a little intense, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get the assignments done on time, and I faced some discouragement along the way. But when I faced those times of discouragement, one of the many things I had to do was maintain that attitude of confidence, the confidence that I would get everything done in a timely manner. But it's not only been that confidence that I've had to have, but it's also been your confidence that has got me through, brethren. It's been your confidence in God. It's been your confidence in myself and the other students that have allowed the Institute to continue and has allowed men such as myself and the hundreds of others that have come before me to receive such a great education. And for that reason, because I'm here, because I'm so thankful and because for what you've done for me, that's why I want to be here to encourage you to continue to have that confidence in God. Because I know that as a church and also as individual Christians, there are times when we're tempted to throw away that confidence in God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, he encourages us to hang on to that confidence. He encourages us in three ways. He encourages us to take three responses when we're tempted to throw away that confidence. He first encourages us to be confident in the past. Second, he encourages us to be confident in the present. Thirdly, he encourages us to be confident in the future, and as a result, that should impact how we live, and we should live by faith. So if you have your Bibles with you today, please open with me to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, and we will read through verse 34. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, the Hebrew writer states, "But remember the former days, when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." See, what the Hebrew writer is doing here, he's reminding them of the past. He's encouraging them to remember the past, because what the Hebrews are facing, they're facing the temptation to throw away that confidence that I just spoke of. They're wanting to go back to that old way of Judaism that they knew before they came into the new covenant with Christ. But he says, remember the former days when, after being enlightened, he points out to them, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. The Hebrews, they were made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and also by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. And not only that, they showed sympathy to the prisoners, those that were in prison for the cause of Christ, and they accepted joyfully the seizure of their property. He reminds them, you went through all this because of your commitment to Christ. In the past, they remembered, they did all these things because they were willing to do whatever they could for God, no matter what the cost, because of what Christ had done for them. Now, at this point, I want to encourage you to reflect on, what was it like when you first became a Christian? Was not our attitude one that we were wanting to do everything we could for Christ, no matter what the cost, because we knew the great sacrifice that he made for us? So when we're tempted to throw away our confidence, we can be confident in what God has done for us, because if we haven't already, there will be times when we're faced with that temptation to throw away that confidence. And this is the first response we can take when we face that temptation, is to be confident in the past, be confident in what God has done for you. Remember where God has brought you when you're facing that temptation. Remember that he has made that sacrifice for you, and as a result, that should give us confidence in the past. But a couple more things I want to point out in these first few verses that we've looked at. The Hebrew writer reminds them that they did all these things knowing that they had for themselves a better possession and a lasting one. This is the point the Hebrew writer is trying to make. He's reminding them that in Christ they have a better possession, that what they have with Christ is better. Now, we all have possessions. We all have computers, cars, houses, cell phones. Those are all great to have. They're useful. They're handy for whatever reason. But all these possessions, this cell phone, at some point, is going to break. At some point, something's going to happen to it, and it's going to eventually be destroyed. If not while I have it, it will eventually be destroyed when God comes back with all the other material world that we have around us. But what we have with Christ, what that relationship we have with Christ, nothing can take that away from us unless we choose to give it up ourselves. This is why what we have, this possession we have with Christ, is a better possession. But not only that, it's a lasting one. What we have with Christ, not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. We know that from the scriptures. That possession of eternal life that we have through Christ, it's better and it's lasting. So that is something we can take confidence in when we're faced with that temptation to throw away our confidence, that what we have with Christ is better and it's lasting. But as he moves on, in these next few verses, in verses 35 and 36, and this brings us to our next point, he not only reminds them of the past, but he goes on to say, to remind them of the present, what they're going through right now. He says in verse 35, We'll read these verses, beginning in verse 35. The Hebrew writer states, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." He begins verse 35 with the word "therefore." Now, when we're studying the Bible, when we see the word "therefore," one question we can ask, what's it there for? And so, therefore, this word is connecting everything, that's connecting verse 35 with everything the Hebrew writer just says. He says, because of what God has done for you in the past, right now, do not throw away that confidence. He's encouraging them, telling them, be confident. Why? Because in verse 35, as we see, it carries with it a great reward. Now, this concept of confidence, it has to do with the idea of faith that we just read about in Hebrews 11 that Oscar read for us this morning. And we see that our faith, our confidence in God, carries with it a reward. We see this is evident in Hebrews 11:6, where the Hebrew writer states, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." See, when we place our confidence in God, that brings with it reward. Now, I'm not suggesting material reward. That's not the case. But what the reward we do receive is that reward of eternal life, of spending an eternity with Christ in heaven when we move from this life into the next. That's the reward we can look forward to if we hang on to our confidence. This is what the Hebrew writer is telling them. He says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. But he goes on in verse 36. He says, because they're facing this temptation, he tells them, for you have need of endurance. Now, this concept of endurance, of course, we can connect it with perseverance, which has to do with bearing up under that pressure of that difficulty that comes with those trials that come our way in our faith. This is when we need endurance. It might be those, some of these trials might be trials such as losing a job or maybe something with our health or some other family trial or just whatever trial. There's a laundry list of trials we could probably list out that we're all faced. All these trials, they will try our faith, and we will face that temptation to throw away our confidence. But he says, in the present, for you have need of endurance. We need that endurance. And when we have that endurance, we can be confident that we're going to get through that temptation in whatever form it might come if we keep our confidence in Christ. Again, why? Because it has a great reward. That confidence carries with it reward. But not only does that confidence carry with it reward, the Hebrew writer goes on to state at the end of verse 35, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Our confidence in God carries with it two things according to this verse. Carries with it, first of all, reward, which we've already discussed. But based on the end of verse 36, it also carries with it promise. So we've already talked about the reward, but we also have to figure out just what is this promise. From this context, we don't have a specific reference telling us what this promise specifically is, but we can get an idea earlier in Hebrews. All the way back in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, the Hebrew writer tells us, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Again, this reward and this promise, they go hand in hand. Based on Hebrews 9:15, it's that promise of the eternal inheritance. We will inherit eternal life if we hang on to our confidence, if we hang on to our faith in God. But that's all contingent upon doing the will of God in order to receive all his promise. It's not just hanging on to that confidence. But as we know from this verse, he says, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. It's receiving that promise is also contingent upon us doing the will of God. But how do we know what the will of God is? We know that the will of God is found within the pages of Scripture. If we're hanging on to what is written in this book and doing the will of God as found in Scripture, we know that we will receive what was promised. Jesus Christ said that he who does the will of God will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this is why we must be confident. So far we've seen that we must be confident in the past. And in these verses, we must be confident in the present. And if we hang on to that confidence, as we will see here in verse 37, just a moment, we can be confident in the future. So if you'll read with me in verse 37, the Hebrew writer, quoting Habakkuk 2:3, says, "For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Hebrew writer is reminding them of what's coming in the future. God is coming back. He's encouraging them to hang on to their confidence because he is coming back. And this is when we're faced with that temptation to give up on our confidence with God, when we're facing those trials that we will face in our lives, this is something we can remember, that God is coming back to rescue us from those trials. Hebrew writer here states, for yet in a very, he says that God is coming back in a very little while. Just beginning at the cross, it's been 2,000 plus years since the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That seems like a long time. It's not a little while in our eyes. But we have to remember, we serve an eternal God. 2,000 years, it's just a blip on the radar in God's grand scheme of things. Our trials that we face might last a lifetime. They might last a very little while, just a short period of time. But when we're going through those trials, I'm sure we can all recognize that when we're going through them, it seems like an eternity. But when we're faced with those trials, I know it can create that temptation to throw away our confidence in God, but we must remember that when we're faced with that temptation, we can be confident in the future because God is coming back in a very little while. And as he says here, he will come and will not delay. God's timing is perfect. He will not come a second sooner or a second later than God has already fixed. But why is he taking his time? 2 Peter, we won't turn there, but 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that God is being slow, as some would count slowness. Why? Because he's giving everybody a chance to repent. He wants all to come to repentance and for none to perish. This is why God is taking his time. He's giving us, if we haven't already placed our confidence in him, he's giving us that chance today. He's giving us that chance right now because he wants none to perish. He wants all people to go and be with him in heaven. He's made that possible through Jesus Christ. This is another reason the Hebrew writer is encouraging them to hang on to their confidence, because of what Jesus Christ has done. But God will come. He hasn't come yet because if we haven't done so already, he's giving us the chance now to give our lives over to him through obedience to the gospel, which of course involves repentance of sin, belief in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of those sins. But so far we have seen that we must be confident in the past. We must be confident in the present. And on this verse, we can be confident in the future. And as a result, as I mentioned at the beginning, it should impact how we live now, and we must live by faith. And this we will see in verses 38 through 39, if you'll read with me. And in these verses, the Hebrew writer says, beginning in verse 38, he's quoting Habakkuk 2:4, and he says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." As I just mentioned, verse 38 quotes Habakkuk 2:4, and here we see that God says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith." Here we see that the idea of faith, it's connected with righteousness. And we see this idea presented in Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2. where the Hebrew writer states, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for by the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval." We see here that this idea of faith is connected not only with righteousness, but also with the idea of gaining God's approval. We see, and we also saw it in later on in Hebrews in the scripture reading this morning, all the way down in verse 7, where it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith." See, without faith, we have no righteousness. Again, this is not faith alone. We know from the entirety of Hebrews 11 that faith is always followed by action. We saw that just in the example of Noah that we just read, that Noah heard what God wanted him to do, and then he acted upon it. We must put our confidence, our faith, into action. When we put our confidence in God, that should lead to obedience. That obedience that comes from that faith in God, whether it's obedience to the gospel, or if that's already been done, it's that continued obedience to God's will as it's lined out in scriptures. But going back to Hebrews 10:38, in the second part of that verse, God goes on to say, "And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." This idea of shrinking back, of it has to do with being hesitant. That's what the word there in that phrase, shrink back, it has to do with being hesitant. And this verse here tells us that when we hesitate to do God's will, God has no pleasure in that. The Hebrew writer in the preceding context in verses 26 to 31 reminds them that if they throw away that confidence, that all they can expect is judgment. In Hebrews 10, 26, and also in verse 31, he says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." He concludes that context in verse 31, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So if we shrink back, if we hesitate to do God's will, it's an unfortunate reality that all we can expect is judgment. And as a result, it will be a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But again, as I've already stated, this is not what God wants. As Christians, in our right relationship with God, it's a beautiful thing to be in the hands of the living God. That's something we have to remember. But if we throw away that confidence, it will be a terrifying thing to be in the hands of the living God. This is why I'm here to encourage you today to hang on to that confidence. Live by faith. But what I love most about these few verses that we're looking at this morning is verse 39, because the writer closes this whole statement, or this whole context, on a note of encouragement. He says in verse 39, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." So that's another action we can take when we're tempted to throw away that confidence, is look at verse 39. He says, "We are not of those who shrink back to destruction." The Hebrew writer here, in the face of this temptation, is telling them, remember who you are. He says, "But we," he includes himself, "we are not of those who shrink back." He says, "We are not of those who hesitate to do God's will, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." There's two aspects to this verse that we can see in regards to this idea of shrinking back versus remaining faithful. He says, "We are not of those who shrink back to destruction." We see there that hesitation, when we hesitate to do God's will, it leads to that destruction we've already addressed this morning. But on the flip side of that, when we hang on to that confidence, that faith in God, that leads to the preserving of the soul. Hesitation leads to destruction, but faith leads to preservation. And as we've already seen in Hebrews 11:1, it is by that or Hebrews 11:2, that is by that faith that the men of old gained approval. It is by that faith that we gain God's approval. But as I've already said, as we go through Hebrews 11, that faith is followed by action. Faith should always motivate our actions. It should motivate us to want to obey the will of God. So as we've seen, when we're faced with that temptation to throw away our confidence, we must be confident in the past. Secondly, we must be confident in the present. Thirdly, we can be confident in the future that God is coming back. And fourthly, as a result, those being confident in those three things should impact how we live now, and we should live by faith. But as I've already said, that confidence should lead to action. That maybe if you're here this morning and you need to want to put that confidence into action by obeying the gospel and by repenting, by confessing your belief in Christ, by repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ, today is the day. God is coming back. He's coming back in a very little while. And he wants to find us all in that state of confidence. But maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. Maybe you've already put your confidence into action by doing that, but maybe you're facing that temptation to throw away that confidence being a Christian today. If whatever might be the case, I encourage you to put that confidence in God. Renew your confidence in God, or put your confidence into action by obeying the gospel as we find it lined out in Scripture. But if there's anything the elders or anybody else can do for you today, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you.